up till now I've only spoken of the mental ideal, but now is introduced the moral ideal. And a rationality which is concerned with the space, with the establishment of the moral ideal. Not that moral ideal was not discussed in the earlier systems of philosophy. It was, and I did not touch upon it because it is not so prominently stated in the form in which we find in Kant. The rationality of morality is best illustrated in the philosophy of Kant, in his description of what is rational. He pointed out that in this world of phenomena that we experience, there is one experience which is extraordinary. All the phenomena that you experience, they either exist or they do not exist, or they may not exist. But there is one experience which is very difficult. An experience which says something ought to exist. This is his digging out of the totality of human experience. That all human experiences basically are regarding things that exist, those do not exist, they may exist, they do not exist. But this does not exhaust all that we experience. There is something in which we say it ought to exist. This is an experience to say it is undeniable. How do you account for it? What is the rationality of it? The rationality of it is that there is a human description of ought. Is there any human being who does not understand ought? Human rationality is such. It is at one time or the other obliged to speak of the ought. In the Life Divine, Sri Aurobindo makes a very important statement. This is in the chapter on the light of existence. The sense in human beings that you ought not to do what you do not want another to do unto you. This sense, you ought not to do what you do not want another to do unto you. If somebody laughs at you, you feel you should not laugh at him. You should not, obviously. No. Where do you get this proposition? This is the beginning of what is called ethical sense. It is inherently human conscience. If you don't take into account, you are not taking into account all the phenomena of the world. It's a phenomenon, which is very important. And you must explain from where this comes. Rationality consists in taking into account a phenomenon and trying to understand it, to explain it. That ought, he said, can be explained only if you can follow the ought. That is to say, ought implies can. When I say you ought to do, I can say you ought to do only if I believe that you can do it. You tell a child, you ought to be able to give a lecture tomorrow. You will not tell because the child is not capable of giving a lecture tomorrow. But when you say you ought to do it, if you tell a young son of 25 years and say, now you must, you have got good muscles, you must run, sprint, you ought to do very well tomorrow. Ought to do, because you can. So he said that ought implies can. Now this logicality, connection between ought and can, was an important step in the rational development of Western thought. The discovery that rationality consists in discovering can from ought was a great discovery of Kant. And what is the meaning of can? If you analyze the meaning of can, means that you can choose to do it. And choose to do it freely. So he said, the can implies a free choice. And therefore he says that rationality consists in affirming freedom. Freedom and rationality came to be combined together. To be rational is to be free. And to be free is to conceive something which is not here, but which ought to be. The possibility of eliminating what is here and creating something else is a very important rational proposition. So rationality also consists in arriving at propositions which involve free exercise of the will and creation of that which does not exist. It's a very interesting remark made by Peters. He's a positivist, but he has written a very good book on ethics and education. And while describing the philosophy of Kant, he says that Kant had observed during his time that French Revolution took place. And what is the speciality of French Revolution? The speciality was that there was monarchy existing. If the idea of ought was not present, they could not have conceived the possibility of eliminating monarchy. The French Revolution conceived the ideal of liberty, equality and fraternity. They are not there. But these are ideals. And these three ideals came to be the ideals of rationality. It is very important that Sri Aurobindo in the human cycle and in the ideal of humanity has a tremendous place in these three ideals. These three ideals are the ideals of the reason. Because reason can conceive the ought, because ought implies can, because can implies free will, therefore freedom of exercise of freedom for the ideal, for the ought, is a rational proposition. Ethics is rational. And there was a great affirmation of Kant. Now, I don't want to delve so much upon, because I have taken a lot of time, but I will now rapidly go up to the end of this story. And I would only make a comment that Kant made two great discoveries in rationality. One was that the world as we see it can be rationally understood in terms of space and time and in the form of four categories. That rationality consists in affirming that there must be a noumenal reality, transcendental reality. And rationality consists in freedom of man, individual, and the possibility of realizing and bringing into the world something that does not exist but something that is ideal and can be realized. Therefore, a proposition which asks you to do something ideal is rational. These are these permanent contributions. And I would like to underline, one of the greatest contributions we made was the discovery of the individual in the phenomenal world. The world of phenomena does not consist only of things, events and personality. There is individuality. Why? Because freedom is experienced by the individual. Individual feels I ought to, even when the whole world may not be. I feel it is something that arises from the depth of the individual himself. Now, what is that individual? What is the centrality of the individual? I must say that he has not fully expounded or explained. Nor would I like to say that Kant has explained everything. I am only trying to say that the concept of rationality in the West at this time came to be formulated in this large, elaborate manner. Thereafter, after Kant, as I said last time, a period came. There was a possibility at this stage after Kant, post-Kantian philosophy could have taken a different direction. But by now, something has begun to develop. And it is that development that has led us to the present crisis. The development of rationality as it developed later on, after Kant, that is responsible for the present, what I call, the downward curve of the development of reason arriving at the present impasse. If the concept of freedom, if the concept of the individuality as understood by Kant, if the ideal of rationality and freedom and ideality were all developed further, perhaps the present impasse would not have come about. Perhaps. Because in this world of uncertainties, anything is possible. But what happened actually is, post-Kantian philosophy gave rise to four important developments. The empirical positivism, phenomenology, existentialism, pragmatism, and postmodernism. Phenomenology and existentialism are very similar, so I count it only as one major movement. In the sense that the logical, the empirical rationalism continued the human line of rationality. It rejected Kant, but derived from Kant some of the important propositions, like the importance of the individual. At the same time, following the Jungian lead, discarded concern for transcendental, for universality, and all concept of necessity. This is how rationality in logical empiricism came to. Not that it does not take into account what is some sense of universality or necessity, but they try to interpret this word in some other phenomenal manner, linguistically, but not fundamentally in any metaphysical, ontological manner. Phenomenology is a very interesting development. If I had the time, I would like to discuss at length the rationality as it was developed by Husserl in his phenomenology. But his main conclusion was that whether ultimate reality exists or not, whether the world exists or not physically, rationally you can at least temporarily suspend our belief in the existence of God or existence of the world. Why? Because we can be certain only of the phenomena of consciousness. And that indelible, indestructible structures of consciousness. And these indestructible structures of consciousness have three elements. The element of intentionality, the element of ego, and perception of the universal, in which ego finds its place. The assertion of these structures and discovery of the structures is a task of rational endeavor and understanding the world in terms of these three structures. There are many more details, and the whole terminology of yourself is a very difficult domain, and I do not want to enter into all that.